This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Raise Your Game. My name is Tasha Fazil. Outspoken, assertive, the Gen Ys are the largest, most influential generation of today's workforce. Nevertheless, they're also the most misunderstood generation, particularly when it comes to understanding their career motives and aspirations. Mallory Loon, the director and lead trainer at Thriving Talents, lends her thoughts on some of the misconceptions surrounding Generation Y and how to address that often talked about generation gap at the workplace. Here, Mallory gives an introduction to Thriving Talents and their involvement in the development of millennials.
At Thriving Talents, we are millennials specialized. So basically what we do is we help companies to attract, retain and develop millennials. So I'll give you some examples of what we do. Take leadership, sales, customer service, personal development, motivation. We help companies to retain their staff through all these developments, as well as bringing forward the company to a new millennial era. In other words, how do you bring a company that's been around 10 years to be relevant and more current with their millennials?
Okay, and just to get a feel for what the companies are expecting, I mean, is this something that is a huge pain problem for a lot of companies?
Yes, actually. When we first started the company, we wanted to only focus on training young talents in the company. When people ask us, why are we doing that? Why not go to the C-levels or the executive levels? And we're like, we foresee that the millennials, the Gen Ys, will be the largest workforce soon. Time goes by, companies started to approach us, asking us like, okay, you know what, I'm having problems with millennials because they joined me for 1 year and they decided, you know what, this is not for me and I'm off somewhere else. Or they come in expecting different things than what we can offer. And the gap just grew bigger and bigger as time passed. So we feel that it's a problem that we can help tackle and solve, as well as companies today. We are proud to say that they too are seeing the value of millennials and this gap that's existing and why is it important for them to solve it today.
So as you said before, millennials are going to be the largest group in the workforce and they're going to be the most influential as well. How would you describe the Gen Ys that are working today? What are their characteristics like? What are their key behaviours?
So, you have probably heard that Gen Ys today are very demanding. They come in with high demand of salary, but they do not want to work much. Somewhat true, somewhat not true as well, depending on where they are from. You've probably heard they're very technological savvy, which is very, very true. You've probably heard that they are spoiled. All they want to do is go out and have fun. They don't want to work much. They just want to play. Again, depending on a lot of factors. So when we summarize it for our clients, we'll tell them generically a Gen Y comes from the age range between the year 1980 to year 1999. 2000, it's somewhat borderline between the Gen Ys and the Gen Zs. 1980, borderline between the Gen Ys and the Gen X.
So Gen Z and Gen Y, is there a distinction?
Very big distinction.
Okay, because Gen Zs, I mean, it won't be long before they're going to the workforce as well. How different are they from the millennials?
Okay, so millennials, we grew up between the era of black and white phone till color.
Right.
Whereas the Gen Z grew up straight away with the iPad in their hands.
Smartphones all the way.
Yes. We still know family values. We know what is it like in the playground. Versus a Gen Z who is born with Wii's and Xbox and PS. So when you're talking about distinction, I'm just talking about characteristics-wise or attitude-wise. The Gen Zs belong to parents who are more educated, financially stable. Most of them are the late Gen Ys, 1980s Gen Ys. With that, they know what is it like being trained or taught or brought up by parents who are in the previous generation. So when they raise their kids, they say, you know what, I don't think this is the right way to go. I believe that my child should be empowered to be more innovative, creative thinking, have their own voice from the young. So when you talk to your younger niece and nephews, that means high school and younger now, you see that they're not shy. They're very vocal. They can tell things like, Mommy, I want this now. Compared to back then when we were kids, Gen Ys were kids, our parents would say, adults are talking, you keep quiet and listen. So these characteristics already start molding them in terms of their future. They tend to be more focused on themselves. They want to see that, you know, it's my life, my choice. They have not seen the toughness of how the world is yet because, well, they're still very young today. They will not understand about financial crisis. They will not understand about racial. They will not understand about anything so far. So with them right now, it's still rosy. How will it determine their workforce in the future? We'll have to see in terms of their education and family upbringing. But in terms of the Gen-wise, they are brought up between, okay, it's the longest peacetime we ever had, no war whatsoever. But a lot of things they are starting to be aware of, like the environment. They're more socially cautious about that, politics, give or take the workforce employability problem. So with Gen-wise are more aware of such things, they become much more socially hopeful or socially cautious. They want to be more proactive in doing something. That's why we have terms like social entrepreneurship today, which did not exist probably 20 years ago. That's why we have a lot of companies coming up with initiatives to help technopreneurs to bring up their business, because, well, these were not initiatives 20 years ago either. They have also become the type that I do not want to work in a job that I hate. I do not want to wake up grumbling about my life. So they want to be in a job that, you know, I wake up every day and I'm very optimistic and I'm very motivated. Hence why a lot of companies tend to think that, why are my Gen Ys always about traveling? They don't have saving. They just want to be rewarded. But to them, they have this term called YOLO, you only live once. So to them, if I'm 50 years, I can't go to Disneyland anymore. So why not go now? You know, I've saved enough, let's go. So they are that type in terms of characteristic. How are they applying that into the workforce today? They want a voice to be heard. There are two types, the extremely shy and extremely quiet, which in some way companies or leaders think that may need to push them a bit more, or the very vocal and the very extreme proactive types, which I always want my idea heard. I want to share. I don't understand why I can't attend certain meetings. They are the type that should be well cherished because they actually have a lot of ways to them that they can see to improve or add value to the company. However, perhaps in the way that they were not taught to properly share, or they do not understand the senior generation, the way, the method of how they express themselves or share their opinions becomes a bit seem like rude in terms of the eyes of the leaders or stepping on my toes situation, which again, all these things can be trained and taught.
Okay. Well, another thing to look at as well is that the Gen Ys are coming into the workforce maybe with little or no experience with work. Do you find that this is an issue when they want to make that transition from education to career?
Well, I think today there's a lot of programs, university programs that provide things like internship, things like company visits, to give these students the educational or real life application from your educational learning to work, which is very, very important. And I urge every young person to go and take up as many internship opportunities. Even if it's not provided by university, you should take the initiative to go and learn, because it's a very competitive world out there today. Everyone is educated. Almost everybody that is in the city area has at least a diploma or a degree. Some people who have the privilege to go study overseas, if they feel like, you know, I can pursue my master's there, I would. So in terms of academic, you are well competing with the best of the best. Now, when it comes to work experience, I do feel that it's important personally for thriving talents as well, that every young talent should get the opportunity to see what is it like in the real world. Because theory is one thing, application is another. A lot of things you learn about basic mannerism, basic way of talking to your senior boss, basic way of handling conflict, it's not taught by theory, it's taught by experience. So you need to experience such things before you can move on and really shine in your work. But I think companies today do understand that, you know what, they are graduates, they are still young. So, well, we're here to teach them, we are here to groom them. But we had clients coming to us and say, you know what, I'm like a mother to them at work. I'm teaching them, I'm holding their hands, I'm feeding them, but they're still the same. I would say some people need tough love, personally for me, because kids today, not everyone live in the tough times like how our parents did. So they become a bit more spoiled, a bit more comfortable with how their upbringing is like and how they are really well taken care of throughout their university years. So when they go out to work, they expect everything to be given to them, like rose gardens. But that's not how it is in the real world. And everybody needs to know that. So what we recommend to our clients is upon induction of having these young graduates coming into the company, let them know what is your expectation. Let them know what is it like really working, how your boss is right, or you feel like you can add value to make things better. Then How do you say it to make sure that no conflict comes about it? All this is something that no one can teach you in education and no one can teach you in school. So it's something that you need to go out and, as the company invites this young talent, to be on board with them, to share and manage both expectations, to see that, you know, what are your talents? How can you add value to me? As well as how can the company add value to you? Where is the line? Where can we not cross the line? Things like that have to be shared to us. We recommend all our clients to share such things upon hiring. We also help them to customize programs like management training programs and the internship programs to give the interns or management trainee a feel of what is the company really like before they decide to be in or not.
Mallory Loon, lead trainer at Thriving Talents, a company that specializes in the training and development of millennials. We'll look at some of the misconceptions that other generations might have of Gen Y when we come back. This is Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth money, BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Raise Your Game and I'm Tasha Fusil. I'm with Mallory Loon. She's the director and lead trainer at Thriving Talents. We're talking today about Gen Ys at the workplace. Now, what are some misconceptions that employers from older generations might have about millennials, and how does that translate to the way they work together?
Every one of us have encountered different individuals in our life. So put it practically, take a senior manager who has maybe a son who is probably 18, 19, they are still at the clubbing era, I'm still partying all night long. To him, that is how a Gen Y is. So translating what he sees in his son to the workforce, it's like telling everybody that, you know what, all you Gen Ys only know how to party. If you're coming to work because you were partying last night or you were drinking and you have a hangover. So these are based on experience of people. These are some of the common assumptions of what senior management thinks when it comes to the Gen Ys. Take demanding. All Gen Ys are demanding. They demand a high salary at the start. But I know a lot of young talents who would work for free just for the experience. So it does not translate to all Gen Ys, perhaps some of them. But putting it in the Gen Ys point of view, cost of living today is much more higher than it was before. Back then, you can buy a house for $200,000 versus today, you can only buy a decent house, landed property at least $600,000. So how does a Gen Y at earning $2,000 plus a month with their first job and parents to help take care of and probably siblings need to handle all this stress given to them by the external environment, like the economy? So for them, that's why they demand a higher salary. And for Gen Ys who have been through a lot of experience, global experience, which is well given to them today, you have thousands of opportunities for them to do internship overseas, to do exchange programs, to run leadership courses. And to them, I've been through all this, which means I'm quite experienced, which means I demand higher salary. So if you see both sides of the coin, both parties actually have different interpretation on each other. The Gen Ys would think that the senior management are traditionalists or old-fashioned, if you were to put it bluntly. The company is not going to move forward because this is the way you think. But the Gen Ys may not know that there are a lot of policies, a lot of experiences that these senior management have that determines why the company is this way. For example, we had a situation where the Gen Y was asking, why can't we change the color of the shirt? Why must we all wear this standardized shirt? They did not know that the company was franchised. They did not know that it was a standard logo given to them by the mother company. So when they think that, oh, my senior boss is very old-fashioned because they think that this color is cool when it's not, they do not know that behind the scene is actually due to policies, actually due to standardization, is actually due to the mother company that shared such things. So there's always two sides to a coin. Both parties, I would have to say, both Gen X and Gen Y, shared an assumption. What is a Gen Y like? What is a Gen X like? How is the senior management treating a Gen Y is based on what their experience of Gen Ys are? If let's say I've interviewed 10 young talents, out of 10, 9 of them are giving me headache. My general perception would be all Gen Ys are like that. But there are many, many, many great talents out there who really value companies, who really value experiences, who really value senior management. So I would urge that these companies think about how your recruitment patterns are. That's what we do at Thriving Talents as well, help companies to come up with specialized or creative way to attract the best talents to work with you. and to see whether these talents, are they the normal talents that you're seeing outside or your perception of the Gen Ys, or are they really the cream of the crop that really wants to be part of your company?
When you talk about the cream of the crop, I mean, I would assume, I mean, these would be the most intelligent, the most capable, and the most well-suited for the role. But would they also be looking for a completely different working environment that that company may not be able to provide, or they don't currently have that kind of working environment that the Gen Ys aspire to have?
Yeah. Well, you would know that Gen Ys are very exposed to the media today. Every day we wake up, I've asked a lot of Gen Ys, we've done a survey where, how many of you drink water when you first open your eyes? No. How many of you check your phone when you first open your eyes? Oh, 90% of the crowd will raise their hands. What's the first thing you go to? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And what do you see? Read articles, because you feel like, you know, reading is good in the morning, right? But what type of articles do you see on Facebook? Top 10 companies to work with. And what's the number one? Google. Mm. How is Google's office like? Not like 90% of the companies that we have here. Mm. So they keep looking at all these companies, to them, this is a norm. This is the company that I want to be with. So when they join any other organization, they always say, why isn't the company like Google? Why can't they make the company like that? But they have to understand, different industry have different criteria and different needs. Take Google, for example. Okay, they are a Gen Y run company. Everything about them is to make sure they are technologically up to date, creatively up to date. They are still the largest market share. However, if you take a bank where structure is needed, policy is needed, regulation is needed to ensure success, you can't expect a bank to be like Google in terms of coming in anytime you want, wearing shorts and slippers, because you are a bank, you are regulated. So if you join a certain industry, all these young talents need to know that, you know, the industries have to behave in a certain way. Not always, because today we are proud to say that many forward-looking companies are taking initiatives to do a little bit more, like instead of changing the whole office layout, just one room for creative center where you have colors, you have bin bags, you have, you know, Xbox for you to relax. There are companies like that. There are companies that incorporate simple things like, okay, innovation hour, everybody come together, we just innovate new ways for the company to improve. All these little things that companies are really doing. So I would urge all the Gen Ys to give them a chance to see. But you are right in the sense where company culture do play a role in determining whether they stay in the company or not. Not just the environment of how it is, but the people they are. Because there's a saying, you know, people join the company for the company because of the reputation, but they stay for the people. If you see if companies that are run in teams, right, that means you work in groups. When you notice that the leader starts to leave the company and fellow teammates will start to resign or change jobs, the person there would no longer have a motivation to stay. Reason being because their closest friends are no longer there. The circle that makes them come to work every day is no longer there. So when I say that people stay for the people, it's truly the relationship that they have. So a simple way that we tell our clients you can build a great relationship is appreciation. A simple thing like, hey, good job, well done. Our company personally have a culture of when every time somebody did something good, like they go out and they close a client, the whole company claps for them. Even though it has nothing to do with them, they just clap and they cheer. Or as simple as someone got a good news in regards to an interview they wanted to do, or someone successfully created a very nice advertorial. Simple things like that, we get the whole office to clap for them. It's a culture. What happens to that Gen Y or the talent? They feel appreciated. They feel, I'm doing something great. I'm doing something good. I can see how they value me here. Things like that keeps them there because they feel that the people appreciate them. Of course, there are many, many other reasons, but you'd be surprised to know that personal development and appreciation has become the key things that keep a talent in the company. Once upon a time, it was salary. But today, it's about how much can I grow in that company? It could be a salary cut. I've seen young talents jumping from consulting to startups. Why? Huge pay cut, 90% pay cut. But it's because of the growth. They want the growth. So if companies are giving them the culture of or the environment of appreciation, growth, value, giving them the voice, this would allow the companies to retain these talents.
What recommendations do you have for Malaysian employers about working with Gen Ys? I mean, how can they get the best out of them? How can they learn to communicate better? How can they effectively bridge that gap that exists?
There are three problems that cause this gap to exist. Is number one, mismatch of expectations. I come in expecting this, you're giving me something else, not happy, I leave. That's one. Or worst case, conflict happened. And social media is my best friend in gossiping these days for Gen Y. So social media ranting. Second thing that caused this gap is assumptions. How senior management will assume certain things about the Gen Ys. Gen Ys assume certain things about the senior management. Assumptions with no proof and no understanding of what the other person really is like cause another friction. The third thing is the time competitor, as you call it. Meaning, back then when I was your age, I was ... Those statements have been mentioned a lot. We have seen our clients talk about, I don't understand why the Gen Ys are like that. You know, when I was their age back then, they have to know it's very, very different. Their time, your time is very different. To be fair, this time, they're much more competitive compared to then. And they have the Gen Ys know that even in their normal university life, if they don't be outstanding, they don't stand out, they can't get a scholarship. They can't get a job. So that's why naturally they're more vocal, more proactive, more competitive. Parents today sending their kids to the best school, number of tuitions are insane, all because they want the best for the child. So for the kids, they're very used to that environment where it's so competitive and it's so driven. So for them, when you compare time, my time, your time, it's two different things. You cannot say that it's the same anymore. So three ways of bridging the gap easily for them is, number one, understanding your expectations. A simple way is when someone joins the company, what is your expectation with us? How long do you plan to stay? Are we just a stepping stone for you? It's a reality that some talents do look at companies as a stepping stone. So just accept that, okay, if we are a stepping stone for you, how can we make sure that this is the best experience you have? If you feel that the talent is worth having, what are the some ways we can give you the best? And let's say we give you the best experience, what can you give us in return? You want to have a $5,000 bonus every month. Great, how many sales do you have to close to get that? How can we help you get that? That's six simple words of how can we help you. Really shows how you can manage both parties' expectations. Secondly, the assumptions. Treat every individual differently. A person is not their attitude. End of the day, no one is born with a certain attitude in their life. It's because of certain experience that molds them. So understand them. Don't assume them, but understand why is your boss behaving this way. Is your boss treating you like that because they really want you to grow? It's just a different way of showing it. Or is your boss, you know, have had a bad experience with a certain staff before? That's why they think that everyone is like that. Or either for a senior management treating the Gen Ys. Why does this boy always come in an hour late? Is it really because of, well, excuses, he's lazy? Or is it because of some family issues that he has to settle before he come to work? Understand the person more. And thirdly, don't let time become a competitor anymore. The time today and the time 20 years, 30 years ago, it's very, very different. 20, 30 years ago, so many jobs like social media management, digital marketing, infographics creation did not exist. Back then, it was still the traditional brick and mortar. 20 years from now, 10 years from now, when the Gen Zs come to the workforce, everything will be different as well. Once upon a time, security was just about financial. Now, there's something called cybersecurity that we have to look out for. So every timeline is different. So treat every person that coming in as this is your era. Compare them apple with apple. That means this talent with that talent. Don't compare them with someone who is from 20, 30 years ago. So that's the three advice that I can give.
Mallory Loon from Thriving Talents on how we can better understand and grow millennials at work. This has been Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.